Welcome back, y'all. This is episode 2 of Let's Talk Thomasville. Just want to say thank you so much for showing your love and support for our very first pilot episode that was released last week. By the way, I'm Andrea Collins. I am the executive director with the Thomasville Chamber, and I've got my partner in crime sitting right beside me.
This is Shelley Zorn. I'm with the Thomasville Payroll Development Authority, and now together we're Imagine Thomasville. So our first podcast, you heard what that was, and today we're going to tell you about the history of Thomasville, the Chamber, the Rose Show, and Rotary, because they're all turning 100 years old this year.
So you say 100 years, and really, I mean, you can just say that number, 100, and it not really make a big impact, but when you really stop to think about 100 years, centennial.
It's a long time.
That's a long time.
I just don't know of any other community. I don't know of any other festivals or shows that have been around 100 years in the state of Georgia. There might be one or two, but not many. And so it's incredible to me to think about the Rose Show, Rotary, Chamber.
All
what
three.
Was going on in Thomasville 100 years ago? Who were those people?
Who were they?
They must have been movers and shakers. They must have
not
been.
Not must have. They were.
They were
the movers and shakers.
That's
of
right.
The early 19th century.
So we've been interviewing a lot of people, and you guys will hear clips, and you'll see some video. We have interviewed Tom Faircloth, Jay Flowers, Don Sims.
But who are these people? Because some folks may be tuning in, they may not know.
Right. So Tom Faircloth used to be mayor here, big historian. Jay Flowers, family been here forever with Flowers Foods and Flowers Bakery, and his family has been in Rotary from the beginning. And then Don Sims was our predecessor. He was Chamber and Development Authority for years. And then yesterday we interviewed with the History Center to get their take on what was going on here 100 years ago.
That was my first time really listening to a curator share stories from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so I think this is a good segue into kind of how he started talking to us was, well, before we can tell you who the movers and shakers are, let's back up a little bit and figure out what was going on, you know, 20 years prior to Rotary, Chamber, and Rose Show.
And at first I thought, why is he backing up so far? But really, he was backing up to give us the history of Thomasville, because all these things came together almost as the perfect storm that created the town we're in today and the businesses that are here today and the chamber. So, and first of all, we'll just say I had to drag Andrea into this history journey because I don't think that was normally her thing, but I love history. But I don't really love the dates. I love the stories. Like, I want to know about the people. Like, who were these people? Were they characters? Were they movers and shakers? Were they shysters? Like, you know, who were all these people? Why were they doing what they did?
Right.
You know?
That's great. I mean, you know, yeah, the word history has such a blah kind of, you know, because when you think history, you think social studies in school and dates.
Dates.
Right. But, you know, like, I've become more attached to history, especially after my mom died, being born and raised in Germany. She was born in 42. So just thinking about World War II and now kind of translating that into my position here at the chamber and trying to uncover and learn about what went on during World War I, you know, in America, in Thomasville, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm kind of able to connect the dots. And so I see how your passion is, what it is for history. So I'm going to let you take the reins on this podcast because you're such a great storyteller. But I want to kick it off with the flu pandemic that was, you know.
Yeah, we thought that was so interesting when we interviewed the History Center that the chamber here started right after the Spanish flu. And it was really one of the things that brought it about. And then here we are 100 years later celebrating 100 years of the chamber and this partnership between Chamber and PDA, and we're rebranding as Imagine Thomasville, and we're just after another pandemic.
Yeah, so, listeners, listen to that.
That was pretty neat.
Alanis Morissette, it's kind of ironic.
And so some of this, if you're from Thomasville and you're listening, I'm not a history expert on Thomasville, and some of you know this way better than we do, but what the History Center and others have told us is that what happened in Thomasville was there was a whole tourism or resort era from about 1875 to 1905, and everybody was coming here. There was a Dr. Hopkins. Now, he must have been really smart.
He was the marketer guru.
Yeah, I wish I could talk to him today because he must have been the expert in marketing because he convinced people that the pine-scented air was good for your health. And I guess it is about November through February and then pollen hit. So I don't know. Maybe those people who were staying in the hotels left before the pollen hit South Georgia. I don't know. How did he convince them of that? But anyway, it was actively recruited people here.
And how did they actively recruit one? Because I asked Ephraim, mm-hmm. the curator, how did they do that back in the 1800s? Because it's not
what
like
he said?
They had Facebook.
He had like a pamphlet.
Yeah. He said they were actually putting ads in like the New York Times, mm-hmm. the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty amazing to think about.
It's really progressive that a southern town that close after the Civil War would actively recruit outsiders, especially from the Northeast, but that's what they did. So they came here as tourists, and then about 1905 to 1920, those same people, because they loved what they saw, started buying plantations here, and those plantations became private, quail hunting, entertainment centers. And then he was telling us, you also had to add in World War I about 1914. You added in the Spanish flu about 1918, 1920. All those things became the perfect storm because the veterans that came back had seen the world. The people on the plantations here were well-traveled. They were from the Northeast. They'd seen other parts of the country. And then they'd been to Europe because they were, you know, Standard Oil. They were, you know, they had the means to do that. So they all come here in this perfect storm to Thomasville, and they're like, we want to make this town the best it possibly can be. And so they were progressive, they were forward thinking. You had Flowers Bakery opening, you had the hospital opening close at the same time. What I thought was really interesting and did not know was that there was this group that formed called the Thomasville Commercial Association.
A private club in the 1900s, like 1900, there was Thomasville Commercial Association.
So I think they kind of saw themselves as the first chamber.
Yeah,
right?
A group of businesses that formed as a commercial association.
That's right. So, but what he said was it was really private. It was really, you know, behind the scenes. You had to be invited in. So then he said, after all this happens in Thomasville, you have people here who are well-traveled, and then you had a guy named Ed Jerger, who became the editor of the Thomasville Times Enterprise newspaper. And he starts challenging people. He starts being the spark, and he's like,
he ignites the spark.
He does, and so he's saying, hey, shouldn't we have a Rotary Club
he
like
encourages
these other
them to imagine.
People?
He encourages them to imagine.
Yeah.
What if we have a...
Think outside the box.
Yeah. Robust country club. I mean, a robust Rotary Club.
That's right.
An actual Chamber of Commerce that's affiliated with the
U.S.
National
Chamber.
Yeah.
And so he saw that commercial association as being private, and he was challenging them in the newspaper saying, hey guys, I think you need to come out and you need to have an actual chamber that's open to everybody, members to everybody, includes the whole community. And that's what we think of a chamber now, is open to all businesses, you
that's
know,
right.
help everybody. So I thought that was really, really neat. And then he kind of shifted while we were talking to him, and we kind of shifted and talk about, okay, so how did the rose show start? How did that flower show start kind of all at the same time? We know how Rotary and Chamber started, kind of that perfect storm of the history of Thomasville, people being well-traveled, Ed Jerger challenges people. So I thought this was really neat about the Victory Gardens is kind of how it started.
I love that name, Victory Gardens.
I know. I think we should do that again.
There's a positive connotation associated with victory, the word victory, like it is imagined. So, yeah, the Victory Garden story, I think, is really unique. As a former gardener myself and a former florist owner, I find it very interesting that while the men were off at war, the women were at home, and they were making sure everything was moving and shaking like it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after the war, the government encouraged families to grow victory gardens, like grow vitamins at your back door, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's sort of a way to, and I think it also coordinated with the pandemic as well. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you were kind of cultivating your own food in your backyard and you weren't really having to go out. Right. Go out.
We've heard that a couple times that people kind of became scared of germs. I don't know how much they knew about germs back then, but they kind of became afraid. So I think maybe they stopped traveling as much and they started growing their own produce in the backyard. And, you know, it was a way to help the war effort, you know, the Victory Garden. So, the person we heard the most from was Tom Faircloth about the Victory Gardens. And he said, so these ladies here who were in the garden club took those gardens and they took their vegetables 4 years in a row to the state fair. And they won 4 years in a row. And $25 whole.
$25 whole every year for 4 years in a row.
And they used it for different things. But one of the things was seed money for the very first flower show.
Right.
And so the war's over. The pandemic's over. Kind of like now, people are ready to get back with it and get back in the swing of things. So they wanted to do something for the community. They had a flower show. Mm-hmm. And then the roses became the star of the show.
They became the star because when people would travel down here, they became enamored with the roses. And so that, you know, was taken back to where those folks were. And they were saying, you know, Thomasville's got these beautiful roses. You definitely need to go check them out. And so hence the Rose City,
right,
the Rose Show.
Right. And they would write to the newspaper and talk about the beautiful roses. Tom Faircloth also said that he saw a connection between the chamber and the Rose Show, because he found an article from 1928 where it said the Garden Club was heading things up and organizing the Rose Show, but the chamber and the chamber members donated the money for it. So it was a partnership between the chamber and the Rose Show.
I love that story. I love that story because I think that's where you've got, you know, your citizens that just cultivate their passions and do what they do, and they figure out a way to bring it to the community, and then the businesses see the impact that it has, not just within its citizens, but their business as well. And so I think they could see that connection, and translated 100 years later, you know, that's really what we're still here to do.
I see so many reoccurring themes, you know, that there were partnerships, and we're rolling out this partnership between Chamber and PDA, and it's Imagine Thomasville. The reoccurring theme of how all these people came together and imagined something new. You know, Ed Jerger challenging people, there being a spark to say, hey, let's do something new, let's do something progressive.
And the marketer of that era who thought, you know, how can we capitalize on what we think is good for Dr. Hopkins. The health and well-being of our sinus cavities.
Exactly. So Rose Show comes along first, and we interviewed, another person we got to interview was Doris Mountjoy.
Yes.
Who was the very first Rose Queen. Guys, she is still beautiful. She's 91 years old.
If I look like that at 91.
That is goals.
Watch out, Colby Collins.
That is goals. She is beautiful. And I have a personal connection to her. I'm living in the Gibson house, which her grandfather built.
How ironic is that?
I
keep saying the word ironic because it's just amazing how these stars seem to be aligning.
Come together. But she is a sweet, precious, beautiful woman. But she was the first Rose Queen. Of course, that wasn't in 1921. That was in 1948. And so the Rose Show became the Rose Festival. After World War II, they decided, we've got to keep this going, we've got to bump it up, we've got to go to the next level. And so they decided to add the Rose Queen, the parade, which was such a big deal for many years. They had a ball. Remember her talking about going to the ball?
I do. I'll tell you, the favorite part of the whole story when we were talking to Miss Mountjoy was she shared with us her crown and what it was made out of. And guys, her crown was made out of cardboard that they wrapped in tin foil and bedazzled with jewels.
Yep.
And she had that crown for years and years, and her grandkids and her great-grandkids played with it until it just absolutely disintegrated.
Because we were like, do you have it? Can we have it? And she was like, no, everybody played with it in the family and it's just gone. But her mother made the dress, and it's at the History Center. And she came 2 years ago before the pandemic and brought it to the History Center and came and visited my house that I had just moved in that her grandfather had built. And so I feel like it's coming full circle. But we got to interview her recently by Zoom, and she talked about the ball and how someone, she didn't really say who, had suggested that maybe they go to the ball with some of the more prominent boys in town. But her and everyone on her court decided to go with their normal, everyday boyfriends. That was so sweet. It was so cute. So, anyway, it's just been fun talking to all these different people and uncovering hearing the history.
Yeah, uncovering. And a lot of people, you know, what I find, too, is in our leadership class, you know, there's people who are born and raised here and they don't even realize the history that is, and they uncover it during the process when mm-hmm. we go see the History Center and we go tour all these backstage passes. And so, as the executive director, to be able to kind of live through this and hear these stories, it's very special because, you know, one day we hope that these stories will then be passed down, because we're also thinking 100 years now.
Right.
Okay, what can we do to cultivate the next 100 years?
Right. Maybe in 100 years they'll be telling stories about us, and maybe they'll be listening to this podcast. Who knows?
Right. Okay. What is a podcast 100
what
years
is that?
From now?
Yeah, what
right.
is that? So there's lots that we still need to learn about the history of Thomasville, the Chamber, the Roadshow, Rotary. One of my favorite stories was about the lady who was head of the garden club, Miss Harris, mm-hmm. who apparently was a preacher's wife, which I love. And she was the preacher's wife here at First Baptist. So I think she was one of the first to say, hey, let's go to the state show, show off the vegetables. Apparently she was the mover and shaker, one of the ones that helped get the Rose Show going. But I love the story about her being chained to the tree.
Oh.
They were going to tear down an oak tree close to First Baptist. And so, of course, there's no way to document this. I guess it's just urban legend.
As the story goes.
As the story goes, we believe that she either tied herself to the tree, chained herself to the tree, and then they didn't cut down the oak tree. So that's my kind of woman right there. I love that story.
Pretty amazing story.
That gets me. So,
well, all in all, I think it's really interesting. We can wrap up today's episode in sharing just how important it is to have the right leaders, the people in place who think outside the box. It's important to have a variety of all, you know, those risk takers, those that are a bit more comfortable and reserved. But just having a mixture of all these leaders that can continue to take us into the next 100 years is exciting journey to be on. And mm-hmm. so I'm super pumped that as these episodes continue to be released, they're all going to be stories about the people.
That's right.
That got us to where we are today.
That's right. And so what's to come is through the next year, we're going to start with centennial storytelling. So we'll start with some of the businesses that have been here the longest to hear their personal story of their families, how they built that business. And then we'll move through the decades. Some of the people who've been here the longest, how they built Thomasville for themselves, their family. And to me, that's what makes Thomasville great.
Right.
That's why I'm here. That's why I moved here.
And we have like 400 stories to tell.
Yeah, so don't get your feelings hurt if we don't come to you next. We've got a long, long line of stories to tell. So I hope we get to do that for many years to come.
So keep tuning in. And your feedback is just amazing. And we just appreciate all the positivity that circulated around this. So thanks again for joining in.